I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's a drunken soiree in the Whiff Inn.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin. Joining me always, Christopher Glasson. Hello.
Hey, dude. It's really weird. Now we're recording in the studio and you were doing like the camera checks. Probably for our guests, they're thinking, is there a massive camera crew? Yeah, there is. We've got makeup artists here and everything, haven't we?
Everything.
Yeah. Fluffers.
Yeah.
The works.
I mean, it's just me and you rattling around in this
fluffing each
cabin.
Other.
Yeah, fluffing each
like
other.
Most
yeah,
of the day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Before we introduce today's guest, we need to shout out our sponsors.
Yes. I'll start. Big Papa J and the Say What podcast.
Yes.
Go and give that a listen, guys. If you like drivel, and you do, because you're listening to us, times that by, you know, like how being drunk magnifies your personality in all the worst ways. The Say What podcast is like the drunk version of Hardcore Listening, I'd say.
It's really important way to say it.
Yeah. Really so go and check it. We went on there the other week. It was a real good blast.
For me,
you were probably just banging your head against the table. I had a wonderful time recording with Tony and Justin. So go and check out the Say What podcast. Great sponsors of ours for quite a while now, 6 months, I'd say.
Absolutely. Alongside the Say What podcast, our other sponsor is lovely man that is Si James and Southern Martial Arts. If you're interested in learning martial arts or you're interested in becoming a martial arts instructor, you can fast track it with Southern Martial Arts. Reach out to him, he'll be tagged on all the social media posts. In the show notes, there'll be a link to go and follow him and to ask the questions and to find out more about how you can do something new this year that involves martial arts, which is great for your head and even better for your fists. You can learn how to smash people's faces in. It's a really, really positive and fulfilling way to start your year. Start with pensioners, and then as you learn the skill set, you will be then able to take on blokes down the pub.
Yeah. Pensioners or small children.
Definitely
yourself in.
Baby steps, mate. Speaking of children, this does lead quite nicely into today's episode.
Top five,
Jacob, hello.
Hi, that was a great segue.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, man.
We always find a way to thumb it in.
I could tell that was off the cuff. That was really good.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, well, man, I'm all right. It's Friday, which is lovely. I obviously work Fridays as a stand-up, but you still sort of you get the vibe off everyone else that it's a good day. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Is that your bed?
No, so okay. This is my spare room. Yeah, if HMRC are listening, this is an office, which is a legitimate business expense.
Yeah.
As you can see by the ring light,
that I use
for filming and stuff. As you can see by the professional podcast microphone that I'm talking to you through. However, and if HMRC want to talk to anyone about this, they could talk to my mother-in-law. My girlfriend has turned into this a spare room as well.
Right.
So when the mother-in-law does visit from Ireland, there's a nice little battle going on where she wants to sleep in and I want to kick her out so I can do podcasts like this. So yes, there is a bed in here, but it's not where I sleep unless I'm in a lot of trouble.
Did you turf the mother-in-law out this morning?
No, she's not here now, but She's not here now, but she was for about 4 weeks over Christmas, which is shorter than some.
She's
jail
not dead,
sentences.
Right?
Not dead. No. Not dead yet. She will be one day, and I never think about that. But she will be one day, but no, not yet.
Hey, also HMRC can't tell you how to live your life, mate. If you want
no
a bed
way.
In your office, hey.
Yeah.
That shouldn't affect
but
your
what
tax,
I will say,
tax position.
For fuck's sake, make it, man. God.
That's, well, listen, we could get into a longer conversation, but what's actually on that bed? There is a made bed underneath the pile of clothes, but yeah, my workspace has been disrespected by my partner's intentions to have guests all the time.
Love it. Love it. Jacob, what's your top five today,
mate?
What
are you going for today?
I'd like to tell you my top five moments I've had with my children.
Wonderful.
And I'd like to think these are five moments that any other parents listening might be able to relate to. Do you guys have kids?
I do, yeah. I have a, well, they're not so much kids anymore. They're 21 and 18.
I don't know if I've got kids. I'm not going to.
Don't know.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay. I'm not going to try. My dad once said that to me as well. He was we were driving through Romford. He went, "You've probably got some brothers and sisters that we're at some point."
Fuck it.
Fuck, Dad. I'm 30, and you're just casually saying that to me.
I had a moment once where I was about
with my dad
19, and one of my mates, former guest of the show, Mr. Gels from the Cunts, he was very young. He had his son when he was very, very young. And I got a knock on the door once when I was still living at home with my parents, and my dad opened the door and there was a baby in a carrier with a note saying, "Stuart is my dad, please look after me." And
Jesus.
Like, my dad just shouted up the stairs, "Get down here now." And I've like walked to the front door and just seen a child that is apparently mine. And I was like, no, when your whole world comes crashing down, I was like, holy shit. Yeah. Like, and then I could just hear my mate hiding behind my dad's car just laughing. He just thought it'd be quite a good joke. Just, and in fairness, it was a fucking great
genius.
Joke.
That's incredible.
Fuck,
that's
mate.
Incredible. Yeah. That is good.
That was quite terrifying.
I might start doing that with my kids. I might start just going up and down my road. My little girl is 3. I reckon she could hold a little sign saying, "You're my dad." In the bank. The bank details of where to send the £600 a month child support as well. She can hold that to people.
And around about that time, I remember reading a letter in Viz. You know, obviously in the 90s, Viz was a huge source of entertainment for most youngsters. And there was a letter in there just saying, my husband and I have been trying for a child for 6 years now. With no luck. Imagine our surprise and joy when we found one complete with coordinating accessories outside Boots the Chemist. I just stole a kid.
I think people don't do it enough.
What, steal kids?
Yeah, because you know, then you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
It's better. It's much better, I think.
What, rather than like the scan pictures
it.
And just
yeah,
just go
don't
and
risk it, and the stress of birth and where you're going to have the preg, you know, where you're going to have the birth at home, in hospital. Just steal one.
Yeah, with coordinating accessories.
Yeah. Steal one that, yeah, exactly. Got a Rolex on.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so you mentioned a 3-year-old daughter. Is that your only child?
Yes.
Okay.
3-year-old daughter, one-year-old boy.
Right.
As well. So I've got two.
Okay, you're well in the thick of it still,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, man.
I'm in the trenches.
Yeah.
I am. I mean, look, that bed does get used throughout the day. Yeah. Don't worry about that. There are plenty of times where throughout the working day, there'll be a little light down.
I didn't realise how young your children were. I wouldn't have just ripped you about having a messy bed. Like, I mean, that's the least of your worries.
No,
right,
I'm
now,
trying
isn't
to survive.
Messy head.
You don't
brain.
Look too bedraggled, though, mate. You look like you've had some sleep. Do you? How's that all going for you at the moment?
Well, I'm a sexist, so I just let my missus
Perfect.
Do it all, basically.
Yeah,
that's my
yeah.
No, I don't know. I think the lighting's doing me favours. I look fucking dreadful up close. So I genuinely used to have material about looking young. I used to have material about looking quite young for a parent, and I've had to get rid of it because it doesn't work anymore, because they've worn me down to the point that they've destroyed my punchlines. I don't look young anymore. I look knackered. They take everything.
Okay. Well, look, let's get the measure of this this top five. Let's kick things off. What's at number five, mate?
Okay. Well, I suspect that the way to do this is to do it in order, really.
Sure.
And so it feels bad to start with their birth, one of their births, as the bit that's in fifth. But we're going to go, I'll go with my daughter, the birth of my daughter being my fifth best moment as a parent. So the birth of my daughter was a complicated one in the sense that it was August 2020, lockdown. Although that was the kind of summer, the first summer of lockdown, things were easing up a bit. It was the Rishi Sunak eat out to help out good times. You know when you'd be able to get one burgers and stuff at McDonald's? It was those times.
Good times is a stretch, isn't it, calling it that?
We had to take what we got.
Yeah, exactly. I still harbour a little bit of goodwill towards Rishi. I'm not a conservative, but there's still a part of me that went, that man got me some free stuff, and I can put up with some of his shit for that. But yeah, so it was August 2020. And the thing is about things opening up again, it meant that after a few months, I could start performing again, but it was all those weird outdoor
crazy
gigs.
Crazy rules, yeah.
Yeah. So the night that my partner's waters broke, I was actually doing a gig in a beer distillery. Now, it was like outside the beer distillery. Naturally, I hadn't really drunk around this time because I was like, well, the baby could come at any time. I don't want to be drunk because we wanted to have a home birth. However, I was in a beer distillery and it felt rude not to. So I was hammered. I got really drunk. I got the bus home. I got back to London at about 2 a.m. It was in Oxford where I'd been performing. And I got the call from her saying, waters have gone, we're in business. And I was like, oh, shit. Ran, got back as quick as I could. And I tell you what, one thing that will sober you up is the noise of your missus having contractions with your first kid. That is a real...
It's quite sobering, yeah. Isn't it?
That's a strong cup of coffee, man. That really sorts you out. I won't go into too many gory details about the birth, but I mean, we tried to have a home birth, got the pool up. It was like 35 degree heat, and you have to have a big old fucking pool, birthing pool of water that's kept at 37 degrees. That's a real task. 12 hours of labour. Missus did incredibly. Eventually, they were like, right, you need to get into hospital.
I also love the fact you're moaning about your task. You just had to. I know. You just had to keep the water at a certain temperature.
I had a thermometer in the pond. Yeah.
I did. I had a thermometer, mate. And also, we were in an old flat at the time. The boiler was on up to much. You know, my missus Alana was there saying, "Oh God, this is oh God." And I was like, "You should try getting the fucking pool up to temperature."
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did you say it was 37 degrees? And then you said 35. Well, the room must have been baking hot as well.
So, sorry. It was like a 35 degree day. It was a hot day. It was a good summer
Yeah.
But the water has to be obviously body temperature, so 37. So you're arsing around with that. I had an argument with one of the midwives. Didn't get on with her.
What was her problem?
And then I'm just thinking how much I want to get into this.
Pissed wreck fucking around with a thermometer.
Stinking of IPA.
Yeah. I was having, I might say, a hard day, right? I hadn't slept. I was somewhere between still being pissed and having a hangover. You know that bit where you don't get the hangover because you haven't been to bed?
Yeah.
But you feel awful. So yeah. It's something. I was in that.
You can relax now because all the women have switched off, so you're just talking to the fellas now. So yeah, relax.
Yeah. All that 50% of our audience has gone, oh, it's a misogynist episode again.
I do that at the start of every podcast I do. I insinuate I'm a sexist so that I can say what I want later. Basically, this woman came, she was just, I don't know how to put it, she was just a bit bossy. She was just a bit... one of my mates at school used to have a thing where he said that you could do a power play. Any job interview you do, first thing you should do when you sit down with the guy you're interviewing with, ask him or her to get you a glass of water. Like a power play.
Gotcha.
Because you've made them move. So then the whole conversation is on your terms after that. That's like what this midwife did to me. So I walked through the door. I'm there, topless, holding my missus' hand for another contraction after 12 hours. And she just sort of said to me, she was like, go and get a towel. And it, like, yeah. your nervous system sort of like reacts on your behalf. Like, fuck off.
Yeah, don't tell. Like, there's a way of being asked to do something. When you said you were there topless, yeah. I thought the first thing she was going to ask you to do is put a shirt on.
Yeah, put a shirt on. Fucking yob.
Jesus Christ. I mean, what's worse in that sort of situation? You're pissed, right? And a medical professional comes in and takes control of the situation. Mm. What's she fucking thinking?
The other problem with that, I was going to say is like when I find when I've got a hangover, you know, I've got no sympathy from my missus, but like when you're a side man to the leading lady giving birth, there's nothing that you can do or complain about.
But
the truth is, being under the circumstances you're doing it, that sounds really shit. But there's nothing you can say about it because your partner's forcing a watermelon out of a, you know, jar.
Exactly. It is like the perfect philosophical rock and a hard place. It's like to describe to her now, she'll be like, "Oh my god, that must have been awful." And it's like, yeah, it was. Couldn't really mention it at the time. You know, I remember there was one midwife who was lovely, and I sort of made her a cup of coffee, and I sort of said, just so you're aware, I've not been to sleep and I've had 10 IPAs. And she was like, that sounds rough. And I said, it is. And she goes, don't tell anyone else. And I said, I won't.
But you stink. You stink of ale. Did you only make her coffee, not the other one?
The other one was. I remember she was like, "I don't have caffeine," and straight away I'm like, "I knew I shouldn't like you." I hate all that. Do you know, people who are above coffee, like fuck off. we got to hospital. My missus did amazing, and my daughter was born. And to go from a podcast where I've started by admitting to being a sexist and then talking about being allowed. It is the best moment of your life. It is amazing. Cried like a baby myself upon seeing my daughter for the first time. And I think the way I would describe becoming a parent, it's so immediate, the kind of like, oh right, everything's changed forever now. But there I think there is a moment, and the moment for us, so we had to stay in the hospital overnight. Baking hot hospital. It was, you know, hot summer. I think the hospital was busy. Apparently there was a virus going on. A lot of people in. And so we couldn't get a fan. and my partner and Lua, my daughter, you know, just been born. We managed to get a room, which is quite lucky. You know, you're often sort of sharing a ward with loads of people. We got a room, single bed, all three of us in this single bed together. And I just remember at 2 a.m, like we'd been asleep for like 3 or 4 hours. 2 a.m, me and my missus woke up. We went, oh God, what's that? Oh God, someone got a baby crying. And we looked at each other and went, oh shit, it's ours. Because, you know, it's our first sleep after 2 days. We hadn't slept the night before. So we were so tired. It was like we fell asleep and forgot it had happened. And we both sort of woke up and went, what's that noise? Is someone letting a baby? And we went, oh, Christ, this is ours. This is our responsibility forever. And genuinely haven't slept since. It's been fucking bad. But at the same time, it's, you know, without wanting to be too honest, it is the best thing that's ever happened to me. But just a very funny way of it happening and of that kid coming into the world.
That must be so scary, because my best mate, when he had his first, he was just like, my life just changed in a second. He said, from 1 minute where you have responsibilities, but there's nothing as hard or as immediate as a baby. The baby is immediately dependent on you for everything for a very long time. Mm. You can't have you can share that, but between you, you can't have an off minute.
I remember that happened to me before my oldest was born. And I remember when she pulled out the bit of piss on a stick and was like, oh, I'm pregnant. I just remember it hit me like a ton of bricks that, like, because I was an absolute child and I would have been 29 And I remember thinking, oh, fuck. And like, and I was just trying to make sense of it. And I work in a nightclub. And just as I remember thinking, holy shit, I've got to grow up. And my mate was outside picking me up to go to work. And I got in the car and he was like, you're all right? I was like, and I thought, I couldn't tell anyone because like,
He was embarrassed.
But I was like, oh my God. And I remember just getting to my club and going, just walked straight in and just went, bosh, bosh, bosh. And just like this triple whiskey. And like, and then was like, right, I've got to try and run a night now. And my brain just, yeah, I think I'd had that instant realization then. So when the when she was born, I also that cried like ridiculous amounts, and I remember like my mother-in-law, my missus, obviously there was lots of tears, and then it sort of stopped, and I was still like, why? And like to the point in the end, my mother-in-law was like, Stu, come on, mate. And like, I've been crying for about an hour and a half, just like. But yeah, I had to kind of then go, right, maybe this isn't about me right now.
Yeah.
That's exact. Do you know what? That is exact. It's that whole of it's not about me anymore. That I think that's the kind of ego death that you suffer.
Yeah.
It's so funny you describing the moment of finding out you're expecting. I had exactly the same thing. So I was on a tube.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
That was above ground and was about to go underground. My missus called. She had
no.
So we weren't trying. We weren't expecting pregnancy. She'd had a water infection. She'd had antibiotics for the water infection. She'd gone back to the doctor to do another urine test to make sure that the antibiotics had worked and that a water infection had passed. They just happened to do they just tested for pregnancy because that's what they do as standard, and they just told her she was pregnant. So whoa. I was on the tube on the way to a party. I used to do podcasts for the BBC, and I've done like Radio 4, so like the BBC have a big like talent party every Christmas. I was literally on the way to that, like, you know, Mrs. calls. I was like, I'm about to go underground. Is everything all right? She's like, I'm pregnant. And I just love be like, oh, fuck it. And exactly like you say, mate, like I remember just getting to this party, I looked like I'd just got back from war. Like, I remember everyone was like, all right, you know, and I'm like white as a sheet, just sort of walking.
Staring into space for the whole party.
Yeah, would you like a drink? I'd like 10. You know, I'd like to never stop. Yeah, it's amazing. Can I give you my second moment? No, well, my fourth. Moment number four. So I think the only fair thing to do is I've gone for my daughter's birth as the fifth best. I'll go for my son's birth as the fourth best. Now, as I say, with the first one, we tried to do a home birth. So my girlfriend, she's a midwife.
Yeah.
And she, a lot of midwives have this thing. I've obviously met a lot of them through her. They have this thing where they're kind of, it sounds crazy, they're kind of anti-medicalization. They've got a real mentality that, like, as much as they work within the hospital and the sort of healthcare system, they've got a real mentality that, like, women can do it. Women can do it on their own. They don't need doctors or epidurals or drugs. They can just do it because they're so strong and they're so amazing. And it's a lovely mentality. And so off the back of that, my girlfriend's always wanted to have a home birth. Now, as I say, with the first one, we didn't quite manage it. So with my boy, it was like, right, let's try and do this. So it was also, it was last February, which you might remember that was, we were in the middle of an ambulance strike. We're sat at a dinner table having, I can remember I'd made us egg fried rice. We're having a lovely bit of dinner. Her waters go. It's about 4:30. And it's like, right, let's have a home birth. Let's do this thing. The thing is, second pregnancies, the labor tends to go a lot faster than the first one. So we'd sort of, my missus had written this long Google doc, which was like, right, when my waters go, light a candle, give me a back massage, tell me some affirmations about how easy this is going to be. Make sure you press play on the first Spotify playlist, which is relaxing music and windpipes and all this sort of stuff. The thing that we've realized is that, like, within about 9 minutes of her waters going, it was like she was the victim of a shark attack, and that was happening every 90 seconds. There was no need for windpipes. There was no back rubs. This was, oh my hand, and because it was happening so fast, it was like, fucking get in business, get ready, move all the furniture again, get the bastard fucking water tank for birthing pool up. My daughter's there.
Did you have to fill it up? Did you have to fill up the birthing pool? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, good. Mate, so the way it works, it's nuts. The council just drop it at your house in a box. You get it out, pump it up, fill it with water, do what you've got to do, clean it out yourself, put it back in the box and just leave it by the bins and they'll come and get it. I have to say, I don't think they audit it that well. I don't think they're really keeping an eye on it. And it's an idea for the summer. If you want to get the lads around and have a few beers in a hot tub in the summer, claim that one of you's pregnant, I reckon you'll get a pool. I'm Islington Council. I reckon they'll drop off a pool. Anyway, so I'm getting the pool up. My daughter's there. Now, my daughter's two at the time. She hasn't got a Scooby-Doo what's going on. She's running around going nuts.
Will you blow that candle out for Daddy, please?
Second playlist, second Spotify, not the first one, the second Spotify. Rub her feet, not her back. And we're doing all that. And then we were very fortunate. My girlfriend's childhood best friend lives 10 minutes away from us. So I was calling Fran. I was like, get round here now, get round. Now, we'd sort of said, we were like, what you got to do, you got to call a midwife. You got to get a midwife in. The problem was, literally, between fucking a contraction every 90 seconds, getting the pool up, getting everything happening, I hadn't had time to call the hospital and be like, it's happening, it's on, send someone in. I just had time to send a quick voice note to Fran, our friend, and say, Lana's going into labour, can you come and give us a hand? So she'd come. I'm in the kitchen. Now, again, that 37 degree thing, I cannot tell you how difficult that is. I've got the kettle going, I've got hobs, or every ring on the hob is going, electric hob as well, that's right next to the kettle, and because it's an old house, I flick the electrics, all the electrics go off, pitch black, have to flick the trip, get it back on again. Mate, nuts. And I'm filling up my hobs, trying to get, and basically these birthing pools, you know, like the line on an inside of a pot noodle that tells you how much water you need to get in there, you know, a bit more, too soupy, not enough, a bit gritty.
Yep.
It's got a line like that on the inside of the pool, which is like safe birth, you know, hit that line and a baby can drop into the water and won't hit the bottom. We're nowhere near that. And I get a call from the living room going, heads out, getting in now.
No.
Yeah. So I run into the living room And I on my way, I'm thinking, surely not. Get there, heads out. Now, my daughter's there. My missus is there doing her thing, getting baby out. Our friend Fran is there, who, again, is very on board with this kind of feminist, yeah, women can do it. We don't need a hospital, blah, blah, blah. As I say, my girlfriend had sent me a Google Doc explaining all the things to do and all the things I need to know. I'm going to be very honest with you. I hadn't read all of it. Specifically, I hadn't read the part where she was explaining what would happen if the head comes out while she's in the water. Now, there's not much water in this pool. There's just enough water for the baby's head to be completely submerged. And the baby's head isn't moving. It's just out and there. Now, if I'd have read the Google Doc, I would have known that that doesn't really matter because the umbilical cord is providing oxygen to the baby.
Oh, but you didn't know that.
It's essentially snorkeling.
Yeah.
Like the kid's floating, like he's floating around like he's in Sharm El Sheikh. He's having the time of his life. I don't know this, right? I don't know.
My baby's drowning.
Mate, well, that's the thing, right? That's the thing. But bear in mind the power dynamics of this situation. I was pissed at the first birth, yeah? She's the midwife. She knows what she's doing. And we're also doing this from a kind of feminist perspective of women can do it, women can do it. I don't want to have to be the arsehole, the mansplainer, who holds his hand up and tells a midwife, darling, you're drowning the baby, right? we filmed the whole thing and I've watched it back and you can just see, like, you know, the head's out. Our friend Fran is going, you're doing so well, Lana, just keep pushing, it's going great. My daughter's going, she literally says, I've never seen that before, right?
Well, hang on. We can't move on yet. We can't move on yet, right? So you've already explained a situation that sounds like one of them late 1970s health and safety videos, right? You've got pans of boiling water and kettles boiling, an unattended two-year-old running around, right?
The lights are going off, right?
This sounds like absolute fucking carnage, right?
Yeah.
Who the fuck's filming?
This laptop, to be honest with you, I just left it open like that with old photo beep on the app. Just filmed the whole thing. I cut a lot out, I'll be honest with you. That was a tricky evening. That was a tricky evening. There was a lot of stuff that I wanted to get out of there. But as it's like, you could just see that moment, the head's out, my daughter's running around going nuts. My missus friend has been very patient. I'm praying to a God that I don't believe in that she has somehow drowned the kid. And then she stands up, my girlfriend, she stands up and she looks at me and she goes, get behind me, you need to catch the baby. And I'm looking at the safety line on the pool. I'm thinking, yeah, I fucking do. And I mean, most important catch of my life, catch the boy. And I caught him. He's there. He's well. He's fine. Mrs. has had the home birth she always dreamed of. And again, another amazing moment. I will say that I was so proud of my girlfriend. She's done so well. And I was so happy there for him as well. I was quite proud of myself for the catch and for the fact that it had all gone all right. So I ran to the fridge, grabbed the bottle of champagne and popped it open, which anyone who's been present for childbirth will know you're a bit early there, because what needs to happen next is the passing of the placenta. And that's one thing where, you know, women can do it. Yes, my flat isn't quite equipped to do a birth. I mean, I'm asking you lads, a placenta arrives in your living room, where are you putting it?
Oh, it's... Can you just dig it in a Tesco's
value
bag?
Little bag.
Leave it in the pool.
That's the problem.
Oh, good point.
Leave it in the pool.
Can't leave it in the pool because she wanted it. She wanted to do something with it.
Eat it or something.
Well, yeah, we're real fucking middle class North London fucking wanks. We actually had it made into artwork that we put on the wall.
Did you really?
Yeah, we did.
Can we get a picture of it so we can pop it up in the chat?
I will.
Oh my God, I've never heard of that one, mate.
So you
put it straight on a canvas then?
I put it in a Pyrex dish. I've got a roasting tray out of the oven.
Have you still got that dish?
I have. I put it under the sofa in this dish, and I forgot it was there. Finished the bottle of champagne to myself. No one else was interested. I remember coming downstairs in the morning, hungover, and kicking it by accident. they're my fifth or fourth moments to be the bird.
That's incredible, man. I mean, well done to your missus and whatnot, and well done to you for,
she's
for
amazing.
Catching.
She's absolutely amazing.
How do you? Is there rules around catching a baby? Because it's feel you gave me the impression that it was some kind of clean catch, like you weren't allowed to even grab at your son until it had exited. I'm assuming though you could support the exit. You could sort
it weren't like hands behind
your back, and then she's like 3, 2, 1, go. And then
you got to
quickly get me. I'm sure you could ease it out.
There's like a referee that makes you take it again.
We're going to have to reset this.
It was an amazing, and I'm very, it was stressful at the time. I'm very grateful to have had the experience of doing that. Very glad that we did it that way. I don't think I'm going to go again with a third kid. So I'm glad to have had those two moments with the ones I've got, because it was good fun.
Well, you've not drowned one. I mean, it feels like you were close on the second time, so don't risk it.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone's a hero, you caught it, mate. You bossed that, mate.
I can just imagine your laptop capturing you, like, tentatively, like, walking, pacing backwards and forwards, wanting to point out that your kid might be drowning, but not wanting to sort of, like, you know, obviously sound ignorant.
Mansplain.
But then at the same time, what happens if the baby did drown and then, you know, everyone's like, kids drown, and you're like, I thought that might be happening, but I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah, exactly. It's the most British politeness you've ever experienced.
My son's drowning. Oh, I won't say anything, though. Yeah, that's a fucking tough situation. Rock and a hard place again, mate.
Oh, mate.
For two pregnancies.
Absolutely.
When my youngest was born, I'd been to work, and I got the phone call about 2 o'clock in the morning to say, get home, like, it's happening. So I drove home, and I'd drive like a pensioner. And I was driving to the hospital I remember.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Like my mother-in-law just going, will you put your foot down? And I was like, I was just kind of messing around with the radio channels, just thinking, like, this is nice. But it went on for a long, 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 long time. And at one point, my only job was to hold the gas and air on her face.
Yeah.
I fell asleep standing up. And I fell asleep standing up, holding it about a foot away from her face. That's quite a wake-up call. Like, multiple nurses, my missus and her mother-in-law screaming at me to wake up and put that back on her face. I was like, yep, sorry. I think
just signed out.
And also, like you, you can't really go, for God's sake, I've been up like 26 hours.
No, exactly.
They don't want to hear that.
You have to suffer in silence, and you have to do it with a smile.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you are being an arsehole. And it's
struggle's real.
Yeah, you, Yeah, the struggle is real, and it can only really be discussed on podcasts like this where you make sure there's no more women listening.
Switch still off.
All right.
What were we on for number three? Third greatest moment.
So for number three, I've gone for a moment, and I'm not sure if I can send you a picture of this. So
it's not another art installation, is it?
Yeah, the first nappy was turned into
exactly.
We went on an all inclusive holiday, summer just gone, with both of our kids, and for me that is like, that was my, I was dad. I'd become, that's fully on dad then. I'm arsing around, I'm making stupid jokes, I'm trying to get the towels on the loungers before the Germans get there. I'm hogging out at breakfast.
And most importantly, you're not having fun at all.
At any point. I'm stressed by everything. I'm trying to stick to a schedule that shouldn't matter. No, exactly that. But there was a thing in the evening where they'd sort of do evening entertainment. We were in Greece. And they got these women. They were sort of, I don't know how to explain it. It wasn't quite belly dancing, but they were dressed as if they could be belly dancing, but they were just sort of dancing to like Pitbull pop classics. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. And it's just sort of, you know, sort of flicking around a bit, all good fun. And my daughter, it was really funny. My daughter, three at the time, she sort of like jumped in, got involved and started dancing with these women. It's just a really lovely moment watching her sort of get involved in this thing, and in front of the whole hotel having a dance, and these women are really nice with her and they're all holding her hand and she's dancing. And so it was a really lovely moment that was made funnier because I noticed when my daughter, you know, she came off and she came and gave us a big hug, we got some nice pictures of her dancing with the women. And then I noticed, you know, most of the kind of front row almost that were watching these women dance were like toddlers. It was like there was loads of kids at this place. There was about 20 toddlers, sort of 2, 3, 4 year olds, all just sat there clapping along. Now notice there was just one 12-year-old German kid who was clearly having some kind of sexual awakening. It wasn't just watching it so intently that it looked like he was reading a book. He was slyly filming it on his phone.
Good lad.
His mates on the car. And it's one of the funniest. I managed to get a video on my phone of the kid doing it, and you could just see him sort of looking up and going, oh, like filming this thing, and this being like the most important moment of his life. And it's like, this is going to change everything for him.
I also like to think that there's another podcast happening right now with another load of people going, yeah, and I remember filming this geezer, but just sitting there, just filming fucking a rubber kids.
There was his dad having some sort of awakening of his own, filming his rubber toddlers. All these dancers you think you'd be more interested in, he's just filming the toddlers on the front row. Dreadful.
I mean, it is a rite of passage, isn't it? An all-inclusive holiday when the kids are young.
No.
Fuck me, it is hell on earth. It is like...
It's chaos.
When you see
it's,
people...
It's no fun.
No, and that whole thing of like... some beds, bin them off, there's no point. You're not going to be able to, you might get to sit on it for about 3 seconds, you're never going to lay down
because the kids are running around basically
constantly. And like
and they're bored,
yeah,
and really you can't design a worse kind of environment to try and look after toddlers.
Well, a death trap, like, a pool basically,
literally. You've got what, you've got fucking 35 scorching degrees sunlight which burns their skin. You've got hot sand that burns their feet.
Yeah.
So that already is like a torture experiment. You've got like an umbrella which provides about a yard and a half of shade, which they have to stand in like a prison yard. And even more helpfully, that moves every hour. So you're constantly positioning that. And if that's not stressful enough, about 20 yards away, you've got the sea, which is a bit of a hazard in itself. You could not design a more stressful, and then like the whole, they've got all these like signs around being like, and now time to relax. It's like, there's nothing less. Unless you put my kids on like a bomb site with a load of barbed wire and some dogs chasing them, that's the only thing that could be less relaxing than a beach.
Like, I never come back from a family holiday feeling
Like I'd used to feel relieved. It would be like, oh, thank God.
Oh, my God.
Is that the purpose of it? Is that because, like, you know, maybe you get a little bit, like, ungrateful for your life and, you know, you're grumbling about work and stuff like that. And so a holiday actually is designed to make your day-to-day actually that much better because you're like, fucking, thank God.
It's like Catholic flogging. It's like Catholic punishment. It's like in Father Ted, but they're going to get punished once a year to make them appreciate their day-to-day. That's exactly what it's like. You get back and you go to work the next day and the kids go to nursery and you go, this is fantastic.
The amount of time my mates spend on the toilet is fucking insane.
Yeah.
Like, Mark is forever in the toilet. Like, he's like, that's my plate. Because he's got three kids. He went past the two. And he was like, oh, I don't know about this, Kelly. I really don't know if we should have number three. And he's like, toilet is my sanctum. I can go in there and I can close the door and for fucking five minutes. Things aren't insane.
That is... So that rolls me into... moment number two.
Perfect.
This is my second best moment of parenting. It's more of a moment between me and my missus than a moment with me and the kids. But it was Christmas before last. We had two kids, and last Christmas where we had the two kids, and we're there Christmas Day, and it's first one. You know, we've done it properly. We've got, like, you know, stockings made up with everyone's name on it, and presents in the stocking, and, you know, everything under the tree, and we've got the mother-in-law round, and we're doing breakfast and stuff like that. And at about sort of 11:30 in the morning, and you'll know this when you're in a long-term relationship, you kind of learn each other's bowel movements and patterns. Do you know what I mean? You know, right?
Yeah.
I'm in the worst health of the two of us. So if I just smell a coffee granule, I'm running. Right. And that's you know, 2 minutes past me waking up. If someone just mentions the word Arabica to me, I'm gone. Right. Whereas my missus, I kind of know once a morning, around 9:00 done. Whereas I noticed on Christmas Day, I was like, we've both been about three times. It's 11:30 in the morning. What's going on? It's like, are we ill? And I had this amazing moment where we sort of caught each other. And I said to her, are you just going for little breaks? She said, yeah. And she said, are you? I said, yeah. She goes, I didn't even take my trousers off last time I went. She goes, I set a six minute timer on her phone and just had a scroll. And that to me, it was the perfect moment of just Christmas Day. Like, it's supposed to be the most magical day of you and your kids' year. And we're both just taking 6 minutes social media to fucking cleanse our mind.
Just let me scroll. And then, you know,
Yeah, just let me scroll. Just, you know, appropriate a bit of IBS culture and just sit and scroll for 6 minutes and have a minute to yourself. It was just that moment of going, oh, I'm not the only bastard. We're both doing it. We're both, you know, vulnerable. And yeah, because I never want to... I think you get so many parents who, whenever you go, oh, how's it going? They're like, oh, fuck, you know, it's awful. I just feel dread. So I always try and talk about it as positively as I can. Because I remember when I was in that situation where I found out we were expecting, anyone who was like, oh, I'm so tired, it just made me feel worse. So while I always try and project a level of positivity with it, because I think anyone who's thinking about it, it'll make them feel better. But at the same time, when you find someone else who's willing to admit how fucking hard it is, it does make you feel good. Do you know what I mean? It makes you feel, oh, man, I think that's essential.
Yeah. Like, I've one of my best mates, like, for about 5 years, like, we'd have a monthly meet-up, like all of my friends down the pub on a Sunday night. And we was all kind of going through having children around the same time. And we'd all kind of just go, yeah, you know, it's nice to get out and have a pint and, you know, switch off a little bit. And we was all just kind of being a bit nice about it and... You know, not to the point where we're showing each other pictures of our kids and things like that. It wasn't that kind of sweet. And my mate Nick just went, oh, it's just shit, isn't it? And like, he went, my life's fucking shit now. He went like, and now he just think like, oh, fuck me. He's just thrown that out there. And for every month after that, it was just like, I know I'm going to leave that pub feeling better about myself because he just says it how it is. He's like, oh, I just fucking hate it. He went, it's just shit. It's really spoiled my life. And it's like, fucking hell, man. But it's tough. And nothing can prepare you for it. Like, there's no amounts of books and innate or classes or anything that... And I do think it is that responsibility. That is the thing where all of a sudden, right, everything you do comes down to me now. I've got to make sure that everything is looked after, everything is in place. And fucking hell, that is hard work. And like, and I think
it's crazy.
And I think you'd be a fucking maniac to not just go every now and again, fuck this. This is fucking crazy. And like,
yeah.
And you can have them conversations. Social media is for the pretend bit where like everything's fucking great and you take pictures of them matching stockings that are all hanging up and, you know, you're literally living in a Disney Christmas. It don't exist. Sounds quite silly. No, it's quite miserable.
Let's just close a laptop and end it on that, man. These guys are depressing the shit out of me. I hope none of those kids contact me now that are lurking around in Romford. But yeah,
the thing, like the first year or so, it's just the responsibility is keeping them alive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the first year is just going, right, get them alive.
Yeah.
Make sure they're still, you know.
It is. Standing up, looking over their cocks, staring at them going, are they breathing? Are they still breathing?
Oh, mate. Like, the amount of times I've held a finger to check I can feel the breath under the nose. Like, but that's the first year. Once said, like, my daughter's nearly 3.5 now. Now, it's not just, is she alive? I'm like, is she happy? Is she content? Does she relax? I've got her mental health as a responsibility. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, does she look forward to things? Is she excited by things? It's just mad, man. I sort of look back at my growing up. I don't think my parents were quite as thoughtful about stuff like that, for better or worse.
Yeah.
But I think it's obviously a good thing nowadays that with modern parenting, you do think about their well-being, their mental health, their happiness. I do fucking wish it was as simple as it was when I was a kid, that if I had a football and I had food in my belly once a day, then things were all right. Do you know what I mean? It was simple science. I'll give you my favourite moment.
Let's do it.
This is nowhere near as big as holidays or birth or anything like that. It's just something that happened. But basically, one of my favourite things that happens with my kids is when usually when they've just woken up, they are mental. Like as it not like falling the walls going crazy, they're much more relaxed than that. But when they've just woken up, especially if they wake up at a bit of a strange time, or if they've had a nap at a weird time, it's like they've done ayahuasca. it's like they've seen through the void, and they'll sometimes, it's like they've been possessed, they just talk. They'll just blah, 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 blah. And I had a thing the other night where we were getting ready for bed, and my daughter had been doing this really funny thing where while we're doing bath time, she's been listening to this audio Peter Rabbit thing. You know, it's all Beatrix Potter stuff. By the way, that Beatrix Potter stuff, some of that is grim. You've got to be careful showing that to your kids. Jesus. I mean, some of the words, you know, it's of its time. I'll say that. So my daughter had been doing this funny thing where she'd be sort of been, I thought she was doing an impression of the farmer, because she was sort of arching her back, hunching and going, talking rabbit. Really, she was just doing the voice, and she just needed a piss. That's why she was arching her back. And she stopped doing it. But anyway, we've been doing all this Peter Rabbit stuff all day. And I'd had a long old beastie day of it. I had loads of work on. I just stressed. My missus had to go down with the boy. He wouldn't sleep without her. Clean the whole house, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, I remember it got to about 1 a.m. I finished all the work I need to do, laid on the sofa for like the first time I'd stopped all day, poured myself a little beer. And I was just about to take my swig of my pint, and I could hear footsteps coming down the stairs. I was like, oh, is it Alana? What's going on here? And then the door opens a crack, and the sort of sofa's at a level where I could see my missus if she walked above it, but I can't see anything below her.
Yeah.
And it's my daughter just walked around the door and I stood there and stared at me. And it's like both of us, I'm looking at her being like, fuck it, I cannot do anymore. I can't, I've done so much today, I cannot do anymore. And then she's looking back at me being like, what the fuck is going on? It's 1 a.m, I've just woken up unexpectedly. And she just looked me in the eye and went, talking rabbit, and just walked out of the room, put herself back to bed. And it's little moments like that, little funny stuff. That's what kind of, you know what you said about how your mate was like, it's just shit, isn't it? A lot of the time it is. And it's those tiny little moments like that which get you through it. I mean, you have a laugh like that and you go, that's why I'm doing it. That's why I do all the hard days, all the dirty nappies, all the hard stuff. It's worth it for that. And that's maybe not the moment, but certainly an example of the moments that keep me going.
Oh, man. My friends say it's because they joke about how hard it is, but they say that it's very difficult to quantify or it's not within their sort of like lexicon to explain how it makes you feel to be a parent, because that attachment you have to your child is almost wordless, like how much you desperately love them and all the small, they say like all the small little idiosyncrasies or things that they learn, and you watch that thing develop it. And just then suddenly can say these little crazy things that you just don't expect, and it just kind of makes your day.
My daughter caught me off guard once with it was one of the first times we'd ever gone out after a birth, and I think she was probably about like gone out. I think was going away for the weekend. I think she's about like I don't know three and a half, four. And I remember like she was playing right up, and my parents were going to come over and look after her. And I was rushing around trying to get everything sorted. And I was like, and she was just being like so naughty. And I went, right, in your room. And she was going, no, I went, get in your room. So she went in her room and she was playing right up. So I kind of shut the door. I went, right, stay in your room. Like, you got 5 minutes in now, right? And so I was holding the door. Like, and she was obviously trying to open the door. And I was just going, calm down. And that's it. And then literally, ding, ding, my mum and dad have opened the door. And my daughter, you know my daughters.
Yeah.
They're very well-spoken. They're very polite and kind. And the minute my mum and dad walked through the door, they were like, hiya. My daughter, at the top of her voice, went, open the fucking door. I was like, where the hell has that come from? Like, never, ever swore in her life. But that one moment was just like, brilliant.
We've got
just
this all under control. Yeah, it's fine.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Jacob, it's been absolutely delightful.
Thank you, guys, having you on the podcast
today. Before you go, let us know what's happening. What's going on with Jacob Hawley?
Well, two things I'd love to tell you about. First of all, I do a podcast called The Screen Rot Podcast with my friend Jake, another comedian, where every week we talk about a different content creator or viral sensation. We sort of do a Monday Night Football style deep dive on that. And then I'm on tour. My tour starts in a couple of weeks' time. I'm going around the country with a show called Space. And within that show, I very much tell more of the story of the home birth that brought my son into the world. It'd be lovely to have some people there who've listened to this, because it's been really good fun, gents. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Absolute we'll link you pleasure. Into everything that we put out and send people the directions to where they can come and catch you, mate.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, Jacob.
Appreciate you having me.
Thanks so much, my friend.
Thanks, mate.
Bye-bye. It's a drunken soiree in the within. Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.